to Outdoors Radio, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource, on the web at lake-link.com, and by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com. I'm Dan Small, and I'm in the studio here with Jeff Kelm once again. Jeff?
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. So, how did your Civil War reenactment go? I see you've got all your limbs.
Yep, all the limbs and stuff like that. Actually, it's funny that you say that, because there was a point where it was a little scary moment with a horse, actually, that got stung by a bee.
Oh, no.
They lined up, as part of the Confederate cavalry was lined up near the fence line, near the viewing area, and one of the horses got stung by a bee and actually took a few steps back, started bucking away.
Ooh.
And the rider stayed on. The rider was probably about my age, and it looked like he'd been riding a horse most of his life.
Okay.
And
knew
how to control that horse. Yeah. But yeah, that horse took a couple steps back towards the fence line, towards the spectator area, and you know, everybody got back a ways. But yeah, it was all right. It was everybody was fine. So, but you've been busy.
I've been all over the state once again. Yeah, I did a 3-day trip to Monroe County.
Okay.
And we did a bow hunt with Mike Steinhaus of Deer Creek Seed. We've had him on the show, and I know we're going to have him on again. And with Dave Keene, who's a landowner out there. And Dave is a mentor for a fellow named Todd Ludeking, who has cerebral palsy.
Okay.
And he can get around. He hunts, but he has a bow hunting, or a
crossbow?
He has a crossbow,
okay.
Absolutely, yeah. And he hunts with a crossbow, and he hunts with a shotgun from a special chair that has a rest on it. You know?
Okay, sure.
And he's killed, I think, 4 turkeys and 3 deer so far.
Wow.
Hunting
that's
with Dave, and we put him in a blind. Now, Dave has planted some food plots on his property.
Sure.
And this is an area that's earned a buck.
Okay.
So we all had to, nobody had earned a buck yet, so we all had to shoot a doe. And the second night, I had a doe at about 40 yards over my right shoulder, which is the wrong side.
Sure.
And about 10 yards longer than I want to shoot at. So,
okay.
And about 7 o'clock. And the last thing I want to do is, you know, within a couple minutes of closing, wound a doe or anything. But that same night, in that food plot, they had 5 different bucks walk through. And Todd is going, ooh, there's a deer. And, oh, another buck. Oh, rats, another buck. Including, the funny thing is, I had scouted that the weekend before coming back from Minnesota.
Okay.
And I walked through the property and saw the food plots, and I was alone. Dave was out of town. But Dave told me, he said, well, we knew you were there because at 11 o'clock, we got you on my trail camera. And I said, well, what was I doing? He said, oh, you're just standing in the food plot. And then he said, at 5 o'clock, a very nice buck with, I think, 5 points on one side and a stubby brow spike on the other side.
He must have
been injured,
sure,
you know, earlier, and his antlers didn't fully develop. Came by, you know, what, 6 hours after I was there.
Okay.
Well, that buck and a couple others, 5 in total, came by, and bottom line, we didn't shoot anything, but we got a lot of tape. This was for Outdoor Wisconsin for next season. And we got a lot of good tape, and it'll be a good story, I think.
Oh, very good.
And then last weekend, then I went out, my wife and I, we call her Deadeye.
Okay.
She didn't hunt this week, but I hunted turkeys when we visited some folks down in Lafayette County.
Okay.
And
do you have a permit for every county in the state?
I was just wondering about this. I had to buy a couple permits for Zone 1 because, you know, there were some leftover permits.
So. Sure.
Anyway, I
just didn't mean to get you off track there.
Well, you know, I don't have one for... No, I got one for this area, which I haven't filled yet.
Okay.
And I got 2 for Zone 1 because there were some extras available. And I always like to have a, you know, a spare permit in my pocket. Although there have been years when I've gone away with 4 extra tags, so I don't buy that many anymore.
Sure, right.
But anyway, Deadeye and I were visiting some a young couple who've got 2 real rambunctious boys, and they had some friends visiting from Viroqua, and they had a rambunctious boy. So these 3 boys were just out it reminded me of me and my brothers when we were growing up. These kids were just having a great time. Just kind of like turn them loose there on the, you know, in the middle of this huge farm, and they got into dirt, and they were riding their bikes up and down the trails and
doing
a lot of unsupervised, good, wholesome, natural play.
Right.
It was just cool to see them.
Yeah.
And they knew I was turkey hunting, and I came back, and they had improvised a skateboard ramp, they were skateboarding in one of the machine sheds, and I came back with my camouflage and my shotgun. I'm walking down the driveway, and they said, "You get anything?" And I said, "No." And they went, "Oh, man." They were real disappointed.
real hoping to see something.
But anyway, it was a great weekend. And, the duck season is open now, and might have to do a little bit of that.
Yeah. So you stay busy then.
That's the plan.
All right.
That's the plan. And today's show is going to be a pretty busy one. Speaking of a duck season, we're going to talk with Scott Stevens of Ducks Unlimited about a youth waterfowl program in our first No Child Left Inside segment, official segment of the year. And then we'll talk with Mike Zagata, who's the CEO and executive director of the Rough Grouse Society, about some new conservation plans that are in the works.
Very good.
And we'll catch up with Brian Long of Ashland County up in northern Wisconsin, see how the muskies are doing up there.
Sounds good to me.
All right, all that and more right after this.
Imagine a magnificent European-style lodge for your wedding or corporate retreat. Milford Hills Hunt Club can provide the perfect setting with its stunning architecture amidst beautiful Wisconsin scenery, complete with a full-service bar and catering, great rates, and a staff that's ready to pamper your guests from the time they arrive. For a class reunion, rehearsal, or any special event, call Milford Hills at 920-699-2249, W5670 French Road in Johnson Creek.
Available now in stores and dealers near you, Ironclad Soft Bait Brands, as seen and demonstrated around the U.S. at major trade shows, Ironclad Soft Baits are taking the sport fishing industry by storm.
Discover why Bassmaster Magazine lists Ironclad's a hot lure buy for 08, and why Ironclad's won the overall Best in Show award at the Chicagoland Outdoor Show.
Take it from 2007 Co-Angler of the Year in the American Bass Anglers Grand Slam Series, Billy Applin.
Ironclad baits, they give me that competitive edge, win tournaments day in and day out.
Discover why nearly indestructible Ironclads are ushering in the soft bait revolution.
Or take it from Thomas Jones, 2007 national champion of the American Bass Anglers Fishing Tour.
Yeah, I've caught 16 bass on one Ironclad lure in 3 hours.
Anglers, ask for Ironclad soft bait brands at stores and dealers near you.
Available online at buyironclads.com or call toll-free 877-513-3535.
I spent a lot of time in the great outdoors, and I found that nothing cooks better or faster than a Camp Chef modular cooking system. It's great for cooking, grilling, frying, or even smoking. And these heavy-duty kitchens are built to go anywhere. Plus, if your power goes out, they're perfect as an emergency kitchen. Want to make a good thing that much better? Try customizing your Camp Chef kitchen with a complete line of accessories. So if you want high performance from a great portable kitchen, make Camp Chef your choice for great outdoor meals.
Camp Chef's lineup of outdoor cooking gear can help you prepare great meals outdoors anytime, anywhere. Slow smoke ribs in the smoke vault on a lazy afternoon. Get camp meals done fast and tasty with an Explorer stove. And be the envy of every other tailgater at the game using the big gas grill. Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors. Now in your neck of the woods at Cabela's, Dick's, Gander Mountain, Lowe's, Mills Fleet Farm, Sportsman's Warehouse, and other fine outdoor retailers.
This next segment is brought to you by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only 5-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com, and by Balistrieri Environmental, working to assist their clients in reducing their exposure to environmental liability and hazards. You know, Jeff, the U.S. House of Representatives recently passed the No Child Left Inside Act.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that last week.
We did, and that's going to provide funding for environmental education in our public schools.
Okay.
And I say, well, it's about time.
Well, yeah, no kidding, huh?
You know, not that we spearheaded this, but for the last 3 years, we've been featuring a segment we call No Child Left Inside on our show, and it's sponsored by the Balistrieri Group, and that continues for the next 3 months, starting with this week's show.
Okay.
And this week's guest in that segment is Dr. Scott Stevens, who's Director of Conservation Planning for the Great Plains region of Ducks Unlimited in Bismarck, North Dakota. Scott, how are you?
I'm well. It's good to be with you and Jeff today, Dan.
Well, we appreciate your taking time, especially during duck hunting season. And I know you've been doing some of that, and we'll ask you about your own hunting in a couple minutes. But I understand that you coordinate a youth waterfowl clinic and a duck hunt.
Yeah, that's something that was new for us this year, Dan. And I have to admit that in my day job, you know, I sort of oversee our science group here in the Great Plains region. And, you know, recently we had been paying attention to some of the new information that was out from the Fish and Wildlife Service on trends in waterfowl hunters. And we've seen declines.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's been plenty of discussion sort of within DU on, well, you know, what are we going to do to try and address some of those issues and better understand it and then, you know, put things in place to reverse those trends. So we had the opportunity this year, actually the North Dakota Game and Fish Department offered grants to groups who wanted to do youth events to get youth engaged in hunting and fishing and things like that. So we took advantage and put on a youth waterfowl clinic at the end of August this year.
Now, what did you do in that clinic?
Yeah, we had this clinic set up where we got kids in, and in the morning they came here to our office, and in our conference room they learned a little bit about the biology of ducks, some of the conservation work that we do on the ducks' behalf, and then we had some duck ID in the conference room. Then we moved the kids outside and we had what we called outdoor learning stations, and we had, you know, a decoy learning station, duck calling learning station, we had a retriever station, and then the final one was sort of gear to get you outfitted to do all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how many kids?
We were able to get right at 40 kids to attend the event, which we were happy with. You know, that was about the capacity that we could handle for this event, so we were pleased to get those kids there. And I know I actually did sort of an informal poll at the beginning and asked the kids how many of them had ever been waterfowl hunting before, and it was only about half, only about 20 of those kids had ever been waterfowl hunting before.
Now, what was the age range of the kids that you had in this group?
Yeah, at the morning event, we had kids from 4 through 17, so we really ran the gamut there, yeah. Then in the afternoon, we were able to take the older kids who were able to handle a shotgun and shoot out to a local sporting clays range, and they were able to, we had a really great instructor who was able to work with the kids one-on-one, and by the end of the afternoon, all of the kids were that attended that part were breaking clays and you know, shooting the gun, and everything was looking good.
Well, that's great. Now, there are chapters of DU that do greenwing days, at least here in Wisconsin, and I'm sure that they're done in other states.
Yeah, that's true. You know, we've had greenwing events that have gone on for quite a while, and individual chapters are responsible for putting those on. But you know, really, it was the staff here at our office who said, you know, we ought to put on one of these hunting clinics. And you know, all of us sort of came to this field because we have a passion for the outdoors and, mm-hmm. you know, hunting. And we said, gosh, it would be nice to expose some other kids to that. You know, I think one of the challenges is nowadays I have two young kids of my own. Gosh, and there are no shortage of activities for them to be involved in,
yep.
you know, soccer and Cub Scouts. And, you know, you can run every night if you let yourself get into that kind of schedule. And I think what we're seeing in those larger scale trends of waterfowl hunter numbers is it's a lot easier to, you know, take your kid to soccer practice than it is to, you know, find a place to hunt and, you know, get all the know-how to figure it out and do it. So we wanted to provide an opportunity to expose the kids to that, you know, teach them about it. And then at the end of the event, we said, anyone who was interested in going out on a mentored hunt during the youth waterfowl season, we would be willing to take kids and do that. So we had some folks sign up for that, and I was able to take three boys, two of which had never been hunting ducks before, and that was a week ago on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And you know, they had a great time. We got in a good spot where they had lots of opportunities. A couple of them went through a couple boxes of shells, and they were able to kill seven ducks in the process.
Okay. So what did they think of that experience, that whole package then?
Yeah, I think, you know, hopefully it's something that will stick in their mind for a long time. I know that their dad called me afterwards and said, boy, the boys are going to remember this for a long time, because, you know, we didn't just go out on the hunt. I actually had these kids come up to, I have a little cabin that I stay at when I go duck hunting. You know, we came up there and they spent the night and we cooked a big breakfast and, you know, sort of all of the other things that can be associated with those kind of sports. Mm-hmm. That you know, that made it a little more than just, you know, we're going to drag you out of bed at 4:30 in the morning and take
right.
you somewhere.
Right.
So
is their dad going to take them hunting?
Yeah, he will. And you know, what we heard from a lot of the parents at that event was that, you know, they had hunted waterfowl before, but, you know, just having, you know, having someone that they could come to and ask questions and sort of learn about, you know, the right way to do things and, you know, how to deploy the decoys and things like that was a big help for them. You know, they said, gosh, you know, just coming in cold with the knowledge that I had based on, you know, the few times that I had gone out and hunted myself was not enough. You know, I needed sort of the help of folks who are more experienced. And, you know, I think that's a common theme, you know, not only in waterfowl hunting, but in a lot of other activities where, you know, if folks sort of have an experienced mentor to sort of get them started and get them going and, you know, do follow-up with them, that's really important in keeping them in the sport and sort of retaining them throughout their career.
Now, Scott, Dan was telling me that you guys had talked about a recent hunt with you and your 8-year-old son.
Yeah, this past weekend, our waterfowl season opened, and it's sort of become a tradition with my son, who will turn 8 here in a few days, that he comes out with me for the weekend, and then actually it's worked out so that they've always had the Monday following the opening weekend off. So he comes with me, and it's, you know, some time alone with Dad, but we were able to get in some nice spots and just had, you know, really nice flocks of birds work and, you know, whiz right over the blind. And, you know, it's quite an experience for him. He really enjoys it.
Well, that's great. And the key, of course, is not only for them to have a positive experience that first time or the first few times, but to plant the seed, as apparently you are doing with your son, and hopefully you did with those other three boys, so that they continue doing this, or at least have the opportunity to decide whether they want to hunt.
Yeah, that's right, Dan. You know, one of the things that came out in sort of the study that they did is, you know, obviously recruitment is an important issue, and that's sort of what we address through getting the kids involved. But, you know, retention is the other issue. You know, some people that have been in the sport give it up for one reason or another. And I know that DU is focused on working with, you know, professionals in the human dimensions field to better understand, you know, why is it we have folks who are leaving the sport and giving it up. And, you know, if we understand those things, hopefully we can address come up with programs to address those issues too, whether that be, you know, adult events. You know, that's what one of the parents who attended had suggested, is, gosh, it would be great to have one of these that, you know, that adults could come to and learn about the sport again or get more details. So I think that's something we'll have to think about in the future, because we have to recruit the next generation, but then sort of, you know, if we can do a better job of retaining the folks who got a start in the sport, that'll help with the trends in numbers also.
I know for me, I haven't done much waterfowl hunting in my lifetime, and a lot of it is I don't even know where to begin, you know.
Yeah.
And for me to, you know, the idea of wanting to take somebody out younger, out, you know, hunting in general, there's limited basis as to what I can do, being that I don't necessarily know where I'm at. And so, yeah, I think being able to get the adults involved, and maybe there's a situation where the kids are real interested and the parents maybe have never done it themselves either, and,
yep.
and they want to get involved with it. And I think there's a opportunity there to show some adults how it's done as well.
Yeah, I think you're right, Jeff. And I have to admit, you know, I had as much fun the weekend we were out with the kids, as you know, when I hunt myself, it was just great to see, you know, their eyes light up, and you know, the look on their face, you know, when we had a big flock of birds, you know, ripping through the air right over their heads.
Yep.
You know, to share those experiences is, you know, is pretty special, and I think that's why we're all into it, is because we love those experiences, and you know, sharing it becomes an important part of being out there too. So these opportunities are, you know, good for the folks who are helping out too.
Absolutely. Well, Scott, we certainly appreciate your joining us today and sharing those thoughts, and good luck with your son and your the rest of your hunting this year and in the future, and good luck with your other programs. I imagine the Ducks Unlimited website, it's DU.org, right?
Yeah, Ducks.org.
Ducks.org.
Yep.
Okay. I imagine the DU website has information on events.
Yes, absolutely. Anybody can get on there, and you can look up your state and then find the nearest local event near you.
Okay. That segment was brought to you by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com, and by Balistrary Environmental, working to assist their clients in reducing their exposure to environmental liability and hazards.
And the dirt and the gravel on me, going back to the well, going digital, friends, feed my soul, with a blacktop end. And now I'm wishing I was fishing, but I'm waiting on her at the mall. I'm dreaming about reeling in.
This next segment is brought to you by Midwestern Shooters Supply, located at Highways 41 and 67 in Lomira, Wisconsin, on the web at mwshooters.com, and by the Ruffed Grouse Society, celebrating more than 45 years of habitat improvement for ruffed grouse, woodcock, and other forest wildlife, on the web at ruffedgrousesociety.org. And speaking of the Ruffed Grouse Society, Jeff, we have Mike Zagata on the line with us now, and he's the Executive Director and CEO of the Ruffed Grouse Society.
Hi, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be on.
Well, Mike, we've talked with you a number of times over the years, and you mentioned when we set this interview up that there are two new conservation plans that you'd like to talk about, the Grouse Conservation Plan and the Woodcock Conservation Plan. Can you tell us what those are all about?
Certainly. In fact, there's another thing I thought about since we talked, so maybe we can get three things in.
You bet.
The Grouse Plan was put together by people who were concerned that the grouse numbers aren't what they used to be as you go from Minnesota east toward Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, in all of the eastern states except Maine, the ruffed grouse is listed as a species of greatest conservation need.
Mm-hmm.
That means it's heading in the wrong direction in terms of population numbers. And the reason for that is really what was addressed in the plan, and it's very much the same thing that was addressed in the woodcock conservation plan, and that is loss of habitat.
Uh-huh.
And we often talk about forest fragmentation as being the great evil in terms of loss of habitat, but I think we're overlooking something that may be as important, if not more important, and that's forest aging. We've got a lot of folks today who are very well intentioned and they want to protect and preserve our environment, but I don't think they understand that environment naturally consisted of a wide variety of forest age classes. All the trees weren't old growth trees. There was a mix of young forest and intermediate forest and mature forest,
mm-hmm.
largely brought about by nature with natural fires and blowdowns, but also by Native Americans that used fire to create openings, and that's where they would hunt. And I think you're well aware that we really don't tolerate fire anymore.
Right.
And so what's happened is, with that loss of fire, both natural fire and fire as a man-induced management tool, the only thing we had left really was forest harvesting. to simulate the impact of fire.
Mm-hmm.
And really what we're after, whether it's forest cutting or fire, is something that takes away that canopy that you see in the summer of all those leaves, because that canopy prevents light from reaching the forest floor.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't have light, we don't have green plants. And if we don't have green plants, we don't have food or cover to protect the species that live in those young forests, especially from avian predators. What we're trying to do at the Ruffed Grouse Society and the people within the Fish and Wildlife Service and the state wildlife agencies and a lot of the conservation groups like the Wildlife Management Institute is focus attention on the fact that we're losing those early forest habitats. And it's not just hunted species like grouse or woodcock that are suffering. There's about 43 species of neotropical songbirds that are in population declines as well, because they also depend on those young forests. So by focusing attention on that in the plan, what we're hoping is that people will realize that it's okay to cut trees. The plans call literally for millions of acres to be put under active forest management in order to get back to 1980 population levels.
Mm-hmm.
And those weren't the highest levels, probably in the 60s and early 70s, but we just didn't think that it was realistic to try to get, you know, the number of acres under management that it would take to get back to the maximum number. So there was sort of a compromise of let's shoot for the 1980 number.
Uh-huh.
And the truth of it is, you know, you can't implement that plan unless there is a viable forest industry in place, because you can't pay people to cut that wood. There has to be an economic incentive to harvest and then a market for that wood, or the system collapses. We're working on incentives, for example, to provide landowners who manage their land for wildlife, either in the form of tax credits or property tax relief. So that's the first step, is to get people interested in managing their land, be it state, federal, or private,
mm-hmm.
for wildlife. And then the next piece of it is, okay, we've agreed that we need to do this. Now how are we going to make it happen?
Yeah.
So there's a lot that has to happen, and the Ruffed Grouse Society's goal is to be in the mix of things, orchestrating those things to happen. And Dan Desiker, who's our Director of Conservation Policy, is working on bringing the woodcock plan and the grouse plan to fruition. And in fact, one of our members, Dennis LeBaire, suggested a year or so ago that we have a woodcock stamp to fund the management of habitat for woodcock. We polled our membership and there was very strong support for such a stamp with one strong condition, and that was that the money be used for its intended purpose.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, to manage for woodcock habitat. So Dan is working to see, you know, what can be done in terms of getting a stamp, and then what other funding sources and vehicles are out there to actually make the plan not just a plan, but a living document.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, you talked about incentive to cut trees. Does the high price of heating fuel provide an incentive? I've seen, at least here in Wisconsin, an increase in prices for firewood and a lot more interest in firewood and a lot of people burning.
Yeah, the wood-burning furnaces, sure. Outdoor furnaces and things, sure.
Yeah, there's wood is a good product because it produces a lot of heat, but there are some problems with particulates and, you know, there's some other issues. I think one of the things that may actually help swing the balance in the right direction is the use of wood for biofuel. And there's a plant being built right now in Wisconsin by Johnson Timber Company. I think they're spending about $350 million to develop a plan that'll produce ethanol from wood. If we can come up with a system that allows us to use the complete tree, i.e. the bole of the tree for pulp or saw logs, and then the limbs and so forth as a source of energy, that may turn out to be a win-win as long as we think it through up front.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if people go in and overdo it, have clear cuts that are too big or too visible, then there'll be a backlash. But if we can size those cuts, you know, 15, 20 acres, and mix them within the forest so that you have a diversity of age classes, I think that's a win-win for everyone involved.
Well, Mike, what can the average sportsman do to help further this?
Well, the average sportsman can get involved. And, you know, whether you get involved in the Ruffed Grouse Society or Pheasants Forever or Quail Unlimited, you know, it's important to get involved. We have done really a very poor job as a whole of furthering our cause. And our cause isn't a selfish cause. It isn't just for wildlife that we can hunt. When we manage habitat for hunted species, we're also managing habitat for non-hunted species. Aldo Leopold said it back in 1935, and he was the father of wildlife management. He said, as the community goes, so goes the species.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the habitat, you'll have the wildlife. Sportsmen can stand up and say that they are true conservationists. They're the ones whose dollars support the state fish and wildlife agencies. There's an excise tax that's collected on firearms and ammunition and on fishing tackle. And that money goes into the federal aid program, which comes back to the states on a formula based on the number of hunters and the population of that state. So, you know, we say, what can the hunters do? They're already largely paying the bills. But what they aren't doing is they aren't getting involved politically.
Uh-huh.
You know, they aren't articulating their case. They aren't taking the time to point out the economic benefits, especially to rural communities that are derived from hunting and fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And the National Shooting Sports Foundation put out a study that they had some consultants do that showed, you know, we're not talking pocket change, we're talking billions of dollars. So the sportsmen can actually do themselves a favor and do wildlife a favor by getting more involved. And we're very fortunate with the Ruffed Grouse Society because we have members who get involved. When we talked about the possibility of having a stamp to fund woodcock habitat management, we got a very strong response. And that's the kind of thing we need, because now Dan Desiker or myself or our biologist can go to the state agencies and say, hey, our membership wants this.
Right. There's support for it.
There's support for it.
Yep. Well, Mike, we appreciate your taking the time to talk with us today.
I enjoyed it, and I look forward to doing it again.
And we will definitely talk to you again, and I'll bet you're heading for northern Minnesota for the National Ruffed Grouse and Woodcock Hunt.
You're absolutely right.
Well, we will miss it this year, but shoot a couple for us, if you will.
Well, I'm actually taking my wife with me this year, and we have a young English setter puppy and two older Gordon setters, and we're going to have a good time.
Sounds great. Well, have a good time, and we'll talk with you again.
Super. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Mike Zagata, Executive Director and CEO of the Ruffed Grouse Society, and this segment was brought to you by the Ruffed Grouse Society, celebrating more than 45 years of habitat improvement for ruffed grouse, woodcock, and other forest wildlife, on the web at ruffedgrousesociety.org. And also, it was brought to you by the Midwestern Shooters Supply, located at Highways 41 and 67 in Lomira, Wisconsin, on the web at mwshooters.com.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
LakeLink, the hottest website in the great outdoors, just keeps getting better and better.
Log on and get all the latest fishing reports posted by fishermen just like you. Check out LakeLink's hunting forums, great recipes, product reviews, moon charts, pros pointers, and weather center.
LakeLink has been providing up-to-the-minute hunting and fishing reports for over 10 years.
As a member of LakeLink, you'll have access to lake maps that you can customize. You can add rock bars, weed lines, and other structure not shown on printed maps. And LakeLink will put GPS coordinates on your map to mark your spots.
You can also sell your used fishing gear at the online trading post and have fishing reports sent directly to your computer.
The LakeLink Advantage program offers discounts to LakeLink members at outdoor establishments throughout Wisconsin and beyond.
You can also catch us, Dan and Judy, on the LakeLink radio page. That's lake-link.com, keyword radio. Listen to this week's show or catch any of our past shows. And send us your ideas or enter our weekly drawings for great giveaways. All on lake-link.com, keyword radio.
Midwestern Shooters Supply is the place to go for great deals on all your outdoor gear. Stop in today at the corner of Highways 41 and 67 in Lomira or check them out online at mwshooters.com. Save 20% now on all camouflage clothing. Get ready for the antlerless deer hunt October 16th through 19th. Stop in for great prices on guns, ammo, and accessories. Are you sighting in your rifle or shotgun? Check out these October specials. Get two pairs of earmuff hearing protectors for $10. And you can save 20% on all other hearing protection and targets. And if you need a rifle, shotgun, new scope, or other accessories, Midwestern Shooters Supply has plenty of choices at great prices. Don't wait until November, or what you want might not be available. Visit Midwestern Shooters Supply today. Call 920-269-4995 or shop online at mwshooters.com. That's 920-269-4995 or mwshooters.com.
Sportsman's Warehouse is America's premier outfitter. Your new Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse is a Wisconsin-owned company that features everyday low pricing with the most knowledgeable staff in the industry. On the rare occasion a local competitor has a lower price, your Sportsman's Warehouse store will do everything they can to meet or beat that price. You'll find the best prices on great brands like Danner, Benelli, Remington, PSE, Browning, St. Croix, Filson, Drake, and many more at Sportsman's Warehouse.
Jeff, it's time for another fishing report.
All right, we get a chance to talk to Brian, don't we?
Brian Long up in Ashland County, and this fishing report is brought to you by Mercury Outboards, Mercury number one on the water, and by Crestliner Boats, available at Cedar Lake Sales. And it's also brought to you by the Ashland Tourism Council, on the web at visitashland.com. And Brian, way up there in Ashland County, almost on Lake Superior, how has the muskie fishing been?
Well, like I told you last time, it's some days it's better than others.
Uh-huh.
I had a really great day Friday. I had a couple ladies with me, and they end up boating three nice muskies, one beautiful hybrid.
Wow.
The last 2 days I've been fishing big water for big fish, and it's been a little slower.
Okay.
We've seen some fish, but it hasn't been as good.
But when you connect, it's exciting.
Yes.
Well, it's always exciting when you connect, right? No matter what time of the year it is?
Oh, yeah. So, what's going on this time of year? I imagine you're at fall turnover, either happening or has happened already.
That's part of the situation this time of year, is that the lakes are turning over, and when that occurs, that's a good lake to avoid or to try to find a different part of that lake where it's not occurring. And the reason behind that is simply is that the muskies are confused because the water temperature has flipped on them and they're not predictable.
Yeah. Well, now, muskies aren't the only ones confused about turnover, right?
Right.
People are confused about turnover as well. They don't understand how it works or that it even happens a lot of times.
Okay. I think that the simplest way to explain it is in the summertime, the warmest water's on the surface and the cool water's down deeper.
Right.
A lot of times in these stained water lakes, if you're swimming, you can actually feel the difference. If you wade out, it can be very warm above your waist and below your waist, it can be cold. You can vision, I mean, you can actually feel it.
Oh, yeah, I've done it.
Yep, and what happens in the fall with these cool evenings is that the surface water gets cooler and heavier and sinks, and the water that was cool on the bottom actually rises, and the lake turns over. And when it does that, all the green stuff on the bottom and the debris comes up, and it's very confusing to the fish, it seems. They're still there, but they're just a little harder to pinpoint.
Uh-huh.
Now, you're saying they're confused. It's just that they're trying to adjust to what just happened. Their feeding habits are different. The bait
yes.
fish do different things when that happens as well, right?
Sure. It's not just the muskies. It's all the fish. They are in different places and so forth. And but the thing to remember about it, turnover is not just a one-day event, because if it was just cold, it got cold, it might be, but what happens is that when the weather gets warm, sometimes it slows the turnover down or actually reverses it. So the turnover actually can take weeks sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is the stained water lakes, which get warmer in the springtime quicker, also are the first ones to turn over.
Uh-huh.
My theory on that is to get the heck off of them while it's doing that. And one thing I do is I fish rivers.
Uh-huh.
Don't turn over, or I go to the bigger, clear water lakes, which turn over later.
And then by the time the big lakes turn over, the stained lakes have settled down?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, if you're on the water, and you have to keep an eye on it. In fact, you may even be in a better-sized lake, and part of it can be turning over and the other part not. And
really?
I okay. seek out the bays that are not turning over, the clearer bays.
Uh-huh.
Well, very
yep.
good.
Well, Brian, folks, how can folks get a hold of you if you've got some openings?
Well, I'm pretty well booked this fall. They'd have to talk about next year right now.
All right.
But you can call me at my phone number,
uh-huh.
which is 715-264-4974, if they're interested in a day.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much, Brian. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
We'll call you again in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
That was Brian Long of Glidden, Wisconsin, and this fishing report was brought to you by Mercury Outboards, Mercury number one on the water, and by Crestliner Boats, available at Cedar Lake Sales, and also by the Ashland Area Tourism Council on the web at visitashland.com. You'll enjoy upland bird hunting at its finest, plus sporting clays and shooting instruction year-round at Milford Hills Hunt Club near Johnson Creek. Milford Hills also has a well-stocked pro shop and a stunning lodge and banquet facility eager to cater your special event. Check out the new automated sporting clay system and enjoy sporting clays now at reduced prices. In September, Milford Hills Hunt Club is open Wednesday and Thursday from 4 p.m. until dusk, and Saturday and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. for both league and open shooting. Milford's fall upland bird hunting season starts October 1st for pheasants and chuckers. Call now to reserve a date for your personal or group hunting adventure. Let Milford Hills Hunt Club cater your client or corporate outing, fundraiser, wedding, or bachelor party. The groom and best man shoot free at bachelor party outings of 15 or more. Located north of I-94 near Johnson Creek, Milford Hills Hunt Club is Wisconsin's only 5-star shooting facility. Call 920-699-2249 or visit them on the web at milfordhills.com.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Well, Jeff, talking about turnover, as we did a few minutes ago, means something else is coming pretty soon.
Yeah, that's
real
right.
fun.
The ice fishing is nearing us, and I've actually got a couple of things in the garage kind of off to the side ready to start taking a look at. But, yeah, that turnover is something you watch for in the wintertime once you start ice fishing, is you watch for that thermocline of that colder water to the warmer water at the bottom, near the bottom of the lake, you know, is what you want to look for.
I guess the, 37 degrees or so is...
Yeah, that's basically it. Yeah, you know, it's right around that, give or take, couple of points of degrees or so.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yeah, well, it won't be long. We'll be ice fishing.
It will not be long. I can't wait already. But Outdoor Wisconsin, we'll talk more about ice fishing later. But
right.
Outdoor
right.
Wisconsin's coming up this next week. What do you got on?
Well, Judy Nugent's looking at the history of the Brule River. She's talking with a gal who wrote a book on the history of the river and talks about some of the people who've been on the river and some of the changes that have happened to the river over the years. And then she's fishing Sheboygan Pier.
Well, there we go.
Yeah, with Tisma Jewett of Bass Pro Shops, fishing for big browns. And Debbie Wolniak is joining a dog trainer named Jeff Schwartz as he trains some young Springer Spaniel pups. But there are lots of events coming up.
You betcha. The New Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse has a knife sharpening seminar using the Lansky sharpening system with Pete Iverson. That's Thursday, October 9th at 6:30 p.m. There's a walleye techniques seminar about walleye techniques on the Rock River with Crestliner pro staffer Jim O'Brien. That's Tuesday, October 14th at 6:30. They have another meat processing, sausage making, and smoking workshop coming up the 14th of October as well. That's 6 to 8. Of course, the topics will include what they have before, the meat grinders, the mixers, slicers, tenderizers, and it'll also cover dehydrators, food savers, sausage stuffers, and smokers. The whole cylindrical meat gamut.
Absolutely. tube meat coming up.
That's right. First annual Dutch Oven Cook-Off is Saturday, October 18th from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m. And anyone who cooks with a Dutch oven is welcome to compete for prizes worth more than $500. Now, is Cindy allowed to do that?
I don't know if she's...
She's a professional.
Absolutely.
So
this
might be more for the amateurs.
She may be banned. Yeah.
Two-person teams will prepare a main dish and a dessert in a Dutch oven. Dishes will be judged on preparation, appearance, taste, aroma, and overall appeal. Bring your Camp Chef Dutch Ovens, and you can join the fun.
That sounds like one you might want to be a judge for.
I wouldn't mind being a judge for, that's for sure. I love that stuff. For more info on any of the events that New Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse is putting on, you can give them a call at 262-641-2000 or visit them online at sportsmanswarehouse.com.
All right, and the Rough Grouse Society has some events coming up. The Grand Rapids, Minnesota National Grouse and Woodcock Hunt is going on October 7 through 10. And in Marshfield, Wisconsin, there's a banquet on Tuesday, October 14th, and one in Park Falls, Wisconsin, on Thursday, the 16th of October. For details on these and other upcoming events, log on to ruffedgrousesociety.org and click on the drop-down menu, Membership Information, and then on Events and Banquets. And also check out the bargains on the new rgstravel.org website, and check out the National Upland Bird Dream Hunt raffle with some great prizes, including a sharptail and Hungarian partridge hunt in Montana and a chance to go to the National Grouse and Woodcock Hunt in Grand Rapids, Minnesota next year. And Milford Hills Hunt Club has some things going on there. Fall bird hunting season is underway now, and they've got a pumpkin shootout, a registered sporting clay shoot, Sunday, October 19th. Registration at 8, and the last shooters go out at 3 o'clock. It's an all-day event. For information on these events and others, log on to milfordhills.com or call 920-699-2249.
Coming up, the Ozaukee chapter of Great Lakes Sports Fishermen has a big event going on. They have Chuck Nelson that's going to speak on night fishing during the full moon at the chapter October 7th meeting at Railroad Station Hall in Saukville. The meeting starts at 7 p.m. and it's free and open to the public. If you want to join them, you can. If you want more information, you can get that at 262-644-8481. And some hunting seasons coming up here. Southern Zone Duck Season, October 4th.
That's now.
Yeah, right now. So youth deer hunt, October 11th through the 12th is next weekend. And pheasant season opens October 18th. Don't forget, if you are in the woods next weekend, you must be wearing blaze orange.
Absolutely, because October 16th through 19th is also the antlerless deer hunt throughout much of the state. And
yep.
You can find out just exactly where by looking at the deer regs, or either online or on paper if you pick up a copy.
And if you're not hunting, you're just out hiking or whatnot, wear the blaze orange.
Wear orange, yes.
Or some color that is going to stand out. If you don't have any blaze orange, just a wise move.
Just smart, yeah. Or stay out of the woods. I stay out of the woods when antlerless deer hunters are out there. When there are leaves on the trees,
it's much harder.
Yeah.
So,
well, we're out of time once again.
All right.
You've been listening to Outdoors Radio, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource, on the web at lake-link.com, and by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com. Here with Jeff Kelm, I'm Dan Small. Join us again next week.
When my wind gets a little chilly on the gunnel, when my just too lazy to lure. When the worms go dry in the coffee can, honey, I'll be true.